My hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I lay. His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, precious blood of Christ.
All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
No fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever block me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home,
Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Morrison from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, Do You Believe This? Today's message is based on the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. So let us open with prayer. Lord God, we gather today not because we are deserving of your love and not because we have lived faithfully before your face. We gather because you called us. You loved us before we could love you. You have given your Son for our salvation. Journey with us, O Holy God, as we continue on our way to the cross. Sharpen our focus that our attention may center more on you than ourselves. Lead us through the shadows of darkness and prepare our hearts, that we might be a people of prayer, ready to perceive and respond to your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ. In his holy name we pray. Amen. So turn now in your Bibles to John chapter 11. We're starting at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, and whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. And then after this, he said to his disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. Are you going there again? And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, but because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. And Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. And then Thomas, who's called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. And so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary stayed in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And Martha said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, The teacher is come, and he's calling for you. And as soon as Mary heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha had met him. And then when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And therefore when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, See how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? And Jesus said, Take away the stone. Now Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank thee that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with the grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, Loose him and let him go. And many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen these things Jesus did, believed in him. So today we conclude this series on the miracles of Jesus according to John's Gospel. This begins perhaps with the most remarkable miracle Jesus performed. Now, one might say that it's foolish to think one miracle is more difficult than another, but the seventh sign of God's gospel is unique. It is surprising that the other evangelists have omitted so remarkable an account as this, in which some of the finest traits of our Lord's character are exhibited. And so we begin today at verse 4, and Jesus heard, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of the God." Lazarus was already dead when Jesus said this. But Jesus knew the end result would be the glory of God and not death. Jesus also knew that the events recorded in this chapter would set the religious leaders in determination to kill him. This meant the end result would be that the Son of God may be glorified in his death and resurrection. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. John reminds us that Jesus did genuinely love these sisters and their brother. It's an important reminder showing that a testing of their faith was not a denial of his love. It seems strange that Jesus did not immediately act upon this great need. The delay was probably mystifying to the disciples and agonizing to Mary and Martha. Jesus desperately wanted and waited to bring Lazarus back from the dead until he had been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, in John's Gospel, there are three times when someone dear to Jesus asked him to do something. We have it in John 2, verses 1 through 11, and chapter 7, 1 through 10. In each of these three cases, Jesus responded in the same way. He first refused to grant the request, and then he fulfilled it after showing that he does things according to the timing and will of God, not man. Though his actions, Jesus demonstrated that his delays were not denials, that they would bring greater glory to God. And going to verse 7, "And after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.' But the disciples says, 'Rabbi, the Jews there sought to stone you.' And he says, 'Are there not 12 hours in a day?'" Jesus could have raised Lazarus from a distance. Because of the opposition of religious leaders, Judah was a dangerous place for Jesus. Nevertheless, Jesus is willing to go to Judea again despite the warnings from his disciples. Jesus' disciples were shocked that he would return to the region when he was a wanted man there. Jesus responded by saying he still had work to do. Now, William Barclay says, "Jesus is saying that a man must finish the day's work within the day, for when night comes, the work is ended." Stephen Morrison relates to this, "There are but 12 hours in the day, and it will be sunset before you dream of it. Get done what God has sent you to do." And Ben Franklin said, "Don't put off until tomorrow for what you can do today." Now, we will listen to Ben, but the same basic thought is found dozens of times in the Bible. Here Jesus is referring to the time of his ministry, that he had much to do and little time before he had to leave. And then going to verse 11, Jesus tells his disciples plainly, "These things he said, 'Our friend Lazarus sleeps.' And his disciples, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well.' And Jesus said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead. Nevertheless, let us go to him.'" Now Jesus used a familiar metaphor of sleep to describe the death of Lazarus. The figure of speech was especially meaningful because Jesus would soon wake him up to bring Lazarus back from death. Jesus would be glad even in the death of a dear friend because he was certain of the outcome. And Thomas, who is called the twin, said, "Let us go that we may die with him." Now, church tradition says that Thomas was called the twin because he looked the most like Jesus, putting him at special risk. If any of the disciples of Jesus were potential targets of persecution, it would be the one who looked like him. Thomas was willing to go with Jesus, even if it meant dying with him. He made this commitment without much understanding the promises of the resurrection. The risk of death to Jesus and all who followed him was very real. And going to verse 17, and when Jesus came, he found he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus waited 4 days because he knew the Jewish superstition of that day said that a soul stayed near the grave for 3 days, hoping to return to the body. Therefore, it was accepted that after 4 days, there was absolutely no hope of life. Now, Martha honestly stated her disappointment in Jesus' late arrival. She believed that Jesus was able to heal her brother while he was sick, yet still alive. It's possible that she didn't even consider that Jesus was able to raise Lazarus from the dead now. Martha was not confident that Jesus would raise her brother. Instead, she said she would still trust Jesus despite her disappointment. This was a remarkable demonstration of faith, one that we should take as an example. Then going to verses 23, the power of Jesus is clearly demonstrated, and Jesus said, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said, "I know he will rise in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in me, though he may die, shall live." Martha understood that her brother Lazarus would rise again with all the righteous on the last day. She did not even consider that Jesus might immediately bring Lazarus from the dead. That resurrection in the last day shall be only by the power of Jesus, and therefore he can raise now as well as on that final day. And Spurgeon says it is clear that she derived very little consolation from the fact of a distant and general resurrection. She needed resurrection and life to come nearer home and to become more present fact to her. We all fall into this category. People today cannot wait, need the response now. Jesus did not claim to have resurrection and life or understand secrets about the resurrection and life. Instead, Jesus dramatically said that he is the resurrection and the life. To know Jesus is to know the resurrection and the life. To have Jesus is to have resurrection and life. Apart from him, there was neither resurrection nor life. And Jesus boldly challenged Martha to trust that he was the source of eternal life. Jesus presented himself as a champion over death. While humanity in general fears death, the Christian can only fear dying. The believer will never die, but simply make an instant transition from an old life to a new life. And Spurgeon says, "Those that believe in Jesus Christ appear to die, but yet they live. They are not in the grave. They are forever with the Lord. They are not unconscious. They are with their Lord in paradise." Death cannot kill a believer. It can only usher him into a freer form of life. Jesus challenged Martha to demonstrate her belief. Her belief was necessary for the miracle, to allow Martha to fully experience what was to come. Can you answer with the same confidence today as Martha did then? And then going to verse 33, "And Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her were weeping, and he groaned in the spirit, 'And where have you laid him?' And then Jesus wept, and the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.'" The grief and tears of Mary and Martha moved Jesus. There's an important contrast between the tears of Mary and the tears of Jesus. Jesus was greatly moved, but not out of control. It means that Jesus wasn't so much sad at the scene surrounding the tomb of Lazarus. It's more accurate to say that Jesus was angry. Jesus was angry and troubled at the destruction and the power of the great enemy of humanity, death. And Jesus would soon break the dominating power of death. And then Jesus wept. Verse 35 is the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus shared in the grief of those who mourn. Yet unlike any other, God the Son was able to do something about their grief. Jesus allowed the sympathetic passion to uniquely do for Lazarus what he will one day do for all the righteous dead. And Barclay explains that to the mind of the ancient Greek, the primary characteristic of a god was called apatheia, the total inability to feel any emotion whatever. The Greeks believed in an isolated, passionless, and compassionless God. That isn't the God of the Bible. That isn't a God who is really there. That isn't our God. The miracle actually occurs in verses 39 and 40, and Jesus says, "Take away this stone." But Martha says, "Lord, by this time there's a stench. He has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said, "Did I not say to you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Now, Martha knew by this time that he stinketh, as is found in the King James Version. In any case, the condition of the body was irrefutably confirmation of Lazarus' death. In this climate, decomposition would have been rapid. And then going to verse 41, they took away the stone and where the dead man was lying. And Jesus prays, "Father, I thank you." This was a definite and remarkable step of faith. Jesus compelled Martha and Mary to act on their faith, and they did by obeying Jesus and his unusual request. Jesus did what we should do. He prayed, not necessarily to ask permission, but that through his prayer, all would know where the power comes. The public nature of the prayer was for the sake of Martha, Mary, and the people who were standing by. The power of the prayer was rooted in the private prayer times of Jesus. And when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he who died came out, bound hand and foot. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Jesus had said on a previous occasion that a time would come when all who were in their graves would hear his voice. We read in John 5:28. This occasion was a single demonstration of that authority. Jesus spoke to a dead body as if Lazarus was alive because Jesus is God, he who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, as Paul tells us in Romans 4. And Jesus fought death at Lazarus' tomb, and he plundered the grave. Jesus told death that he would soon conquer it completely. Lazarus arose bound in grave clothes, for he would need them again. Jesus left his grave clothes behind him in his tomb, never again having need of them. Jesus had not miraculously removed the grave clothes from Lazarus, but he asked attendants to do so. Jesus did what only God could do, and then he looked for a man's cooperation for the completion of Lazarus' deliverance. And Spurgeon explains this as, "What a man can do for himself, God will not do for him. And what Christian people can do for sinners, they must not expect the Lord to do. They must work themselves according to the ability God has given them up to the point of possibility. Then they may look for divine interposition." And we conclude today with verse 45. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary had seen things Jesus did, and they believed him. And those who came to join in the sorrow of the grieving sisters did not expect that their reason for grief would be taken away. This was undeniably an impressive work of God. For many, it helped them put their trust in who Jesus was, that he was seen by what he had just did. And just a little later in John 20:29, Jesus says to him, Thomas, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Faith that demands proof is not faith at all. As Jesus challenged Martha, "Do you believe this?" we are also challenged, maybe even more, as we have not physically seen as Martha did. But we must rely on faith and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This miracle can be described as a precursor to Jesus' own coming resurrection. As we approach Easter and all the emotion that comes with it, do we believe that Jesus is Lord and our only path to salvation, or do we still wait for more proof? The time is near, both to Easter and to the coming of our Lord in the clouds. Do not wait too long. Amen. So let us close with our benediction. May the God of love who shared his love strengthen us in our love for others. May the Son who shared his life grant us grace that we might share our lives. May the Holy Spirit dwell in us, empowering us to be only and always for others. So God in mercy, you are the full tenderness and compassion, slow to anger, rich in mercy, and always ready to forgive. grant us grace to renounce all evil and to cling to Christ, that in every way we may prove to be your loving children. And this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday on this radio station or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 for Truth Source, the Word of God. You can also find the video of our messages on our website. This is from Christ Range Church, www.crpchurch.com.
Jesus is the ark of safety. Whosoever will come to the door.
There was a preacher in the Bible preparing for a storm that would descend.
Love warned that sin would pull men under,
but just a few were rescued in the end. Pointed to the ark God had provided, a refuge right before their very eyes.
But soon the mocking crowd had been divided from Noah, who obeyed and he survived.
Come to the door,
come to the door, hear the thunder.
The day of wrath
is now in store. Jesus is the ark of safety. Whosoever will come to the door.
This is the age in which we're living. Sinners still reject the warning cry.
Just like before, a storm is coming.
This time, flames will melt the sky. Don't wait to knock until the door shuts. Those of old found out it was too late.
If you stay outside in your tradition, you'll find dead religion sealed your fate.
Come to the door,
come to the door, hear the thunder.
The day of wrath
is now in store. Jesus is the ark of safety. Whosoever will come to the door.
Come to the door.
Come to the door. Hear the thunder.
The day of wrath
is now in store. Jesus is the ark of safety. Whosoever will come to the door.
It's either hell or heaven, so make your calling sure. The final invitation to come inside the door. Come to the door.
Come to the door, hear the thunder.
The day of wrath
is now in store. Jesus is the ark of safety. Whosoever will come to the door. Jesus is the ark of safety. Whosoever will come to the door. Come to the door.
Around the world, thousands of children are born with congenital heart defects. Samaritan's Purse has a tremendous program we call the Children's Heart Project. And what we do is we find children that have this problem and bring them to where they can have the surgery and save their life. We've had over 1,200 children living today, children most likely that would not have made it. Your partnership is truly making a life-changing difference around the world.
To find out more, visit SamaritansPurse.org. That's SamaritansPurse.org.